We can pray as we begin. God, we thank you for the opportunity to gather this Resurrection Sunday. We thank you for the opportunity to read your word commonly together. So much that we often take for granted, we're especially grateful for today. Please illuminate the meaning of your words this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll be reading this morning from Psalm chapter 118. And it'll be verses 1 and 2, and verses 14 through 24. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. The Lord is my strength and my might. He has become my salvation. There are glad songs of victory in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. The Lord has punished me severely, but he did not give me over to death. Open to me to the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Brian. And now let's turn to our gospel reading. Reading of the good news from the Gospel of Matthew and the story of the resurrection. This is Matthew 28, verses 1 through 10. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. As he said, or he is not here, he has been raised, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has been raised from the dead. And indeed, he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message to you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you on this day of resurrection for those words of consolation, "Do not be afraid," that you stand with us in the midst of all that we are afraid of and worry about, and yet you calmly say, "I am with you, do not be afraid." Lord, we praise you on this day of resurrection. We praise you that the stone is rolled away and that death has been undone. Lord, may we hear from your word today, and may our lives be those of resurrection, for all the world to see. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, friends, it's very clear that Easter Sunday is not playing out how we expected it to. Months ago, we were looking ahead to the day of resurrection with hope of being together. But remember, the first Easter Sunday did not go how they had expected it to either. more downtrodden than we, the disciples and the community of Jesus were deep in their mourning. This was the most deflating Easter ever. The first one. The one where they slowly ventured to the tomb to tend to the dead body. They were defeated and heartbroken. Their movement had died on the cross days before. Let's think about these women. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary headed to the tomb that dark morning. Think about their sadness, their loss. Think about the lament and insecurity they felt. Think about how they were probably looking over their shoulders, hiding from the angry mob that had killed Jesus. Think about as well how it is to venture out into our own town these days. If you haven't, good. But also if you have, you know that it feels eerie, too quiet. Think about the lament and the fear that you feel as you see folks masked up, gloved up, in every store, in every public interaction. We walk amidst the fear of death, witness to the power of a virus spreading amongst us, the grief of all that we are losing collectively. We have to feel this grief, this lament, and this open pain right now. It is here among us. And so we can also feel something of what these women would have felt, loss and grief. Expectation that upon entering the place of the dead, a tomb, they would be among the unclean, the cast off, their friend now gone. And then things keep getting more and more surprising, going in unexpected directions. The ground shakes and the stone is rolled away from the tomb. An angel of the Lord arrives. This morning we proclaim good news amidst such grief. Because what happens is that the tomb is a site of what is wholly unexpected, surprising them in ways that they could never have foreseen coming, never have imagined. This is the place where Jesus had been laid, and yet the place is empty. The site of death, as they had expected to encounter, is utterly changed. And we hear from the messenger, "Do not be afraid." Now, were you to venture to our church building today, you would find maybe a similar sight. Closed doors, lights off, no candles lit, no organ humming, no laughter of children, no coffee brewing or cookies being set out for fellowship. It is a stark picture that on Easter Sunday, the day when we are supposed to be in our church together, celebrating and joyfully welcoming each other in the name of Christ, it is a stark reminder that our church is empty. People of faith around the world are wrestling with this today. The empty church and the empty tomb can be places of great despair. What good are they anyways, if they can't be used? Is all the hope gone? But today I want to offer a different read on the empty church phenomenon. The church and the tomb are instead sites of remembrance. They are places we visit in order to look on God's goodness and remember it. And look, we're doing it right now. The place is important only as much as the people together who gather make it. We have found that the empty church does not keep us from being the church, the picture of the body of Christ in the world here and now. We will gather again in our building, and when we do, we gather not only because not, we gather because God is not only there, but because it is a site of remembrance for us, a place for us to come together and tell stories of the resurrection, to gather and support one another, to bear witness to what Christ has done in undoing the powers of death. And so today, the empty church and the empty tomb are gifts in that they remind us to go out and share the story beyond our walls. They beckon us to come and see, yes, but then we must turn around and go tell the story without fear, full of hope, and full of resurrection life. As a church, this is our moment to be the ones who say, do not be afraid. And it's not some sort of naive notion that's saying it's all going to be okay, or that we should just get on with business as usual and regular life again. But rather, the witness of God's people in times of tumult says, do not be afraid. We say, do not be afraid, because we trust in God's providing hand, even when times get hard. We say, do not be afraid, to comfort the fears of a child who worries about getting sick. We say, do not be afraid, because the church steps up to provide care and relief for those who are burdened. We say, do not be afraid, because we can stand in confidence that the door of the empty tomb and the empty church, we know that those are places of God breaking out, a God who is not bound to places or buildings, burial grounds or gravestones. God is unbound, wild, and at work all around us. We are not afraid because God has overcome the power of the grave. This is our moment as the church to offer words of comfort, words of peace, actions of care, gifts of our lives on behalf of those who most desperately need it. This is our moment for the church to speak words of do not be afraid by speaking other words. Words like trust, words like peace, words that dismantle and expose those who would profit off of our fear or off misinformation, words that would tear down the powerful for all their privilege and oppression. We say, do not be afraid with defiance, with power, with great confidence that comes from knowing we are beloved by God and held steadfast in God's mighty hands. This is the way of the resurrection, to stand in the garden and hear the words, do not be afraid. And then to take those words and spread them like wildfire for all to hear. Do not be afraid. This is the church rising. This is the way of resurrection. Let's remember again Christ's words to the women as they prepare to go off to tell the rest of the disciples. Do not be afraid, he says. And then he says to tell them that he is on his way to Galilee. There they will see him. He says, do not be afraid. And then he tells them that he is going out ahead of them. He says, I am not bound by this site of death, this place of dying, but rather I am God on the move. Christ is risen and out before us on the road, preparing the way, inviting us to follow and share that hope of all that is in store beyond the grave. The hope of resurrection life that moves beyond the curse of death and pain and worry. We go out to find Jesus and pursue his loving presence in the places we are called. This is what it means to live the way of the resurrection. Resurrection is not about a return, not about going back to how things were. The way things were in the way of death, a life lived in fear of death and in response to pain and sorrow. No, resurrection does not return to the gravesite. Resurrection life is the good news entering into a world made new, a world where death and fear and worry are no more. Certainly, there is pain and suffering and death in our world. but because of the risen Christ. We can live boldly into that pain and suffering and death, acknowledging that they no longer hold power over us. One of the most beautiful things that I've come to experience in pastoring people at the end of their life is the great freedom that many begin to feel. With the knowledge that they're dying, many people let go of all pretense, let go of fear, and begin to share themselves, their stories, their love for the people around them in very open and liberated ways. Certainly there is pain, but the pain is second to the joy of being able to let go of all that has held them for so long. The tears flow, and so do laughter and smiles. It's a funny thing to experience amidst death and dying, but it speaks to this liberating joy found in Christ. We are meant to live with this liberating joy, this resurrection way, each and every day. Because we know death still exists, but we are no longer bound to worry and fear of it being the final word. We are a people who proclaim resurrection and life everlasting in Christ. And so we go into all places expecting Christ out ahead of us. We go to the places, the joyful and the desolate, the church and the gravesite, and find God's presence there, and then we tell about it. We go knowing that Christ is making all things new, healing and making us ready to share the redeeming love with the world. Friends, we all know that we're living in a time of great upheaval and disruption. In so many ways, we live in a time that connects us to the ways these early followers of Jesus must have felt. Confusion, uncertainty, wondering what will happen next. These past few days, as we've celebrated Holy Week alongside news of spreading pandemic and death and sickness in our own town, we have felt the pain of Good Friday, mixed with sorrow in a very present sense. And yet we remember the death of Christ on the cross is God's deep love for us, coming close, knowing our pain and suffering, living into all that alienates and separates us from the love that we long for. Christ's death is a statement about undoing the powers of death and oppression. And therefore, Christ's resurrection speaks an even better word. The resurrection story told amidst pandemic and despair, as it has always been told alongside the great pains and struggles of our world, speaks a profound word for us today. The resurrection says an emphatic no to the power of death and pain and sorrow. It says a profound word of defiant protest to systems of oppression and despair. The resurrection speaks a deep word of love from the God who comes close to our pain and says no more. The resurrection is God standing alongside humanity and setting us free once for all. And so the church today is empty. It's closed. And the church today is resurrected. Christ's body spread out and living beyond the walls, no longer afraid to be witnesses to good news in every place that we go. This is what resurrection looks like. Here and now, it is in each of us. Christ out ahead, leading us on our journey together unto his good and perfect way. Alleluia, friends. Alleluia. Let's pray. God, we praise you that you have blown open wide the doors of your church, that your body is spread abroad today for all of us to be able to witness your goodness and mercy and love wherever we are. And yet you bind us together as your community. You bind us as people who are living examples of resurrection as we respond to the call of your work in our lives. And so, Lord, continue to lead us. Lead us on our road to Galilee. Lead us to those places where we might see you more clearly today. Lead us to those sites of remembrance and those places of resurrection power. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.